Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Pub landlord Al Murray is coming to Vicar Street next March. Tickets are going to be on sale via Ticketmaster.ie and he joins me now. Al, I suppose it's time to say it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah, really?
It is everywhere. Yeah, we can't deny it anymore. It's fair enough to say we are very close to Merry Christmas. Can I ask you, how is pub landlord?
Oh, he's fine. I mean, he's currently figuring out what he's going to say for his next tour. he's working his way through a series of topical and zeitgeist issues and thinking of choice things to say about it right this minute. Yeah.
Do you have a structure? I mean, every comedian has a structure and how they put things together. You know, Daryl Breen always talks about he starts at a concept and he builds it out and then goes off in a ramble. How do you put yours together?
I tend to know where I want to end and then figure out how to get there. So I tend to know what the punchline might be to an idea or the idea that's the like, da-da, at the end of it. And then I kind of work backwards out of it. Tends to be what I do. And I also, at the moment when we're, now that we are still, I'm in the writing, heavy writing bit at the moment. To be honest, it's about lots of stage time. So I'll do like three gigs in an evening, separate hour-long gigs in an evening, and really like try and thrash the bits out into shape and see where they lead and follow my nose and try and create some space to see if the ideas will flesh themselves out in the moment. Because the audience kind of co-write it with you, really. You know, they tell you if it's funny, they tell you if it's not. So I find that's the best way to do it. And I always work out like a pitch. The show always has a pitch. Why are we here? What are we here to do? And then very often that can then, as the show grows, I can reference the pitch. You know what I mean? Put those things into it. Yeah. So it feels like it's got a structure when it hasn't.
But you do lean into the audience a lot, don't you? I mean, it's one of the shows where you really don't want to end up in the front row because you will probably be called out.
Well, on this current tour, we're selling what we call a splash zone where people can buy a poncho and sit at the front and be part of things.
I've seen the ponchos, actually.
Yeah. And you know what? That's one of those things where why weren't we doing that 20 years ago? I don't know. We didn't think of it. But the thing is the pub landlord, he would come on and say, who are you? Who the hell are you? What do you do? What do you think? He would do all that. That's what he's like. So it means that it's a way of doing the character as he would be and expressing the character. What's really great about it is he's all about his attitude. So if you feed people into it as topics, you get his attitude. Rather than me having to come and going, here's my view of the world in characters of the pub landlord. I could come and go, you know, mate, your wife's much too beautiful for you. You know, I mean, instantly, you know what sort of person that is, right? Yeah. And that's why I like the crowd work. And you build a picture and you build a story and it's different every night.
You mentioned crowd work. I mean, I'm watching a lot of Matt Rife at the moment, the US comedian. Little bit like you, he's really good at getting stories out of the audience and weaving them then into the act. And I'm always fascinated by that because that involves live creativity. I'm brutal at it, for the record. Yeah. You have to try and bring it back from the teenager you've just been taking the mickey out of for the last 20 minutes to a bit of history, the lesson that you were about to give in the video I watched before we started talking about how great the French word fighting over the years.
It's funny because the building people in and everything is something I wanted to do right from the start because it just connects you to the audience in a completely different way to, you know, actors looking at the fire exit and trying not to make eye contact with anyone. You know, one of the really brilliant things about stand-up comedy is you admit the audience is there. You tell them they're there and you tell them they're part of the show. So I like kind of doing that on steroids, really. And when I first started out a billion years ago, I opened for Frank Skinner, and he's really fantastic at this. And I think I was hugely swayed by watching him do that every night. Weave people in, build them in, create something that was for one night only.
You are, of course, coming at this at, I'm going to say, a troubled time for Britain. Post-Brexit, your economy is not as good as it used to be,
No, of course, yeah, yeah.
Has that kind of made its way into the routine?
Oh, of course it has. I mean, the thing is what I, because I've been working on the online new version of Spitting Image in the last few months. Right. And so we have to write the satirical puppet show thing. So we have to write topical jokes week to week. Right. And the problem or the issue with that or the difference between that and what I do is that you have to do Trump's doing this week. He's meeting a Saudi prince or whatever. So we're going to do a sketch about that. Right. Whereas actually, if you're doing a show that needs to last for a year, you got to do zeitgeist rather than what's going on right this week. You know, you got to do how it feels to be around, what it feels like now. And and coupled with that is bad times are great for comics. If everyone was happy and everything was okay, there'd be nothing to talk about, right? You know, we need the sort of a bit of the sort of dirt and friction of things being a bit pear-shaped to sort of hop off. I mean, that's the sort of aspiration. You think, great, things are really terrible. Hooray.
Yeah.
We
made a career out of that in Ireland until relatively recently with our more economic success of late. The thing about it, though, is are some people a little disappointed that that the character isn't more right-wing? Because he's the kind of guy that I'd like to meet, right? He has morality, but he calls it as it is. And that's the kind of, with due respect, the kind of Englishman I'm going to get on with.
Well, he's like that some of the time. I mean, what's been quite interesting is when I first started doing him, he was like hallucinating about what the EU was, and it was all these sort of crazy conspiracy theories and all this sort of stuff. And then gradually that basically became kind of a mainstream position. And, as we've seen, you know, with the way things have turned out. And then there's also, and then you get this bizarre thing where the other thing that's happened certainly happened in the UK is the people to the right who used to not care about jokes about them, who used to laugh them off or show what people of excellent character they were by laughing them off, you know what I mean, and would say that the left are all wet and bedwetters and because they can't take a joke, now can't take a joke either. so you've got all these supposedly the hard men of politics who will, and you see it in America where they get upset if people make jokes about them in a way they never ever did, and so that's I find that a little bit disappointing because it's interesting. You should bring politics into it because I do get people pop up and call me because of the act. They call me a BBC lefty or a traitor or all that sort of thing. And I've got time to point out I've never really worked for I've done a bit for the BBC, but I couldn't call myself a BBC. You know what I mean? There's no point. Because those people just want to needle and pick at you. But the pub landlord, you know, in a way, he's neither right wing nor left wing. He's his own wing. So different things make sense to him. Different things make sense to me in different ways, you know. He could probably argue for nationalising everything, but he'd also argue, you know, in the opposite direction in the next breath, because that's what it's like being cornered in a pub by someone who has all the answers.
Well, this is true, and God knows there's a lot of them out there in the world in general. I hate to pull a quote and put it to you. Did you refer to the Irish as toad done deaf spud face chancers at one point? Or am I misquoting him there?
Not the Irish. No, that wasn't the Irish.
Oh, thank God. Who was that then?
Westlife.
I saw Spud and leaned into that quite well.
Well, of course. Yeah, so that... of course.
Well, can I, I told you I agree with Bob Landlord on a lot of things. Have you had to meet Westlife since and tell them this?
Yeah, along the way I've bumped into them. Yeah, you know. What can you do?
Well, if they're listening,
it's the story of my life, though. I get people come up to me, you know, they're in a pub and they'll go, I was at a show, yours in 2010 in the front row, and you said this to me. I think, did I? Well, you know, hope you're okay. Seems you've recovered.
You look fine. Yeah, it didn't really have a long-term impact on you. Yeah, yeah. How does the English humour, and again, look, we watch so much British TV in this country.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're landing from Mars, but how does the character land with an Irish audience?
Well, the thing is, I first came up with him in Scotland, in the Edinburgh Fringe, and that's where I sort of got my break, really. And so if you're English like me, although I never really think of myself as a sort of generic from nowhere British person. I don't see myself as a Londoner or like, you know, but anyway, if you're English like me and you open your mouth in Scotland, you're immediately placed, right? People know what they think of you, or they've got an idea of what they think of you. So that was the environment the act was first sort of put together in. And then sometimes I'd be playing in London and people would be thinking, does he mean us? Who's he mean? Right? Who's he taking the mickey out of here exactly? And so when I go to Ireland or Scotland or Wales, they know it's the English. They go, oh, that's what the English are like. It's an Englishman. And so when I come to Ireland, you know, the pub landlord would come on stage and go, well, come on, did you miss us? He'd say stuff like that because it's the banter, it's the and also that thing that if you're a comic, we keep being told comedians need to be fearless. So if I'm playing the world's most resolutely English man in the world and I go on stage in Ireland, I can't pussyfoot around that, can I? Otherwise I'm not being fearless. And
but I mean at the same time
it's excellent sport.
Yeah, it's a brave heckler who would take you on, though, to try and argue 800 years of oppression, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly, you see, but that's you see, me, even if we got into that, if we were to get into that on stage in Vicar Street, everyone would know what the game was, you know, because this is, I think, one of the things that people sometimes get wrong about comedy. Comedy, if people know what's going on, everyone's in on the joke, we're playing together, we're having fun, we're not there to... not there to offend anyone. I'm not there to shock anybody or frighten the horses. We're there to have fun and to play with the energy of saying outrageous things or putting the world to rights and getting it the wrong way round and all that sort of stuff. You know, very often when people make these arguments about comedy, they forget that actually comedy's a good thing. It's fun. It's nice. We like a laugh with our friends. It's a way of expressing commonality and trust and all that. You know what I mean? I have to find when people descend into arguments about comedy, when they talk about punching up and punching down, I think, I'm not punching anybody. I'm not throwing punches at anyone. I'm just having a laugh here. You know, like, why are you all taking it so seriously?
Yeah, but the other thing about it is the energy that you have to keep up for the duration of the show. I mean, it's like being a Premier League soccer player, having to stay up there. You're staying in character. You're walking the full length of the stage. I mean, I'm not saying there's training has to go into it, Al, but you kind of have to. You have to put a bit of effort in, do you?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of effort, and certainly at the start of it all, the big worry is I'm going to lose my voice because you know I've been warming up the last sort of 3 weeks. And I hadn't worked for 6 months. So the first thing is, because I do belt it out, the first thing is the worry that I'm just going to suddenly, I'll go, come on stage, you go, and nothing will come out. And that does sometimes happen at the start of a tour.
That sounds like one of those nightmare dreams that you have. We call them the leaving cert dream in Ireland, the A-level dream over there. You just wake up in the middle of the night on stage in front of 200 people, not being able to speak.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, the dream I do have, and I've had it in recent weeks, is the going on stage and just not being able to remember what the next bit is, which is basically the problem when you're warming up. You know, sometimes you'll see comics when they're doing work in progress, they'll bring a list on, and the list will have the headlines, so that they can at least remember. And that's the dream. Is like I'm on stage at somewhere huge, and I just can't remember. But basically, I mean, 2 hours on stage of rushing about, I think, has kept me fit. I mean, I'm not a gym bunny, so not by any stretch of the imagination. So I think
You're doing your bit in your own way, Al. I think that's probably the best way to describe it.
Exactly, and it keeps my brain active, if nothing else.
Well, the show is All You Need Is Gov. It's live at the famous comedy venue Vicar Street, 27th of March, 2026. Sounds like an ideal Christmas present, Al, if you don't mind me saying nudge, nudge to people who haven't bought that yet.
I think it's the ideal Christmas present for literally anybody. I mean, we welcome all in that. That's the show has the ethic of the pub. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's equal. Everyone's the same once they're in the door. You know?
And you get a free poncho for the first few rows. Ticketmaster.ie is the website address if you want to get those tickets. Al Murray, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
A total pleasure. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.